from Because of the Rain, Korean Zen Poems. This one by Babyu Sensu. On hearing a pipe, a cold wind hastens the deep night. From nowhere, a sad pipe adds to the wayfarer's loneliness. Homesickness grows heavy. Deep sorrow in the mountains and longing opening on the moonlit snow. Lonely, I sit immersed in sadness. Only apricots fall in the autumn wind. On hearing a pipe, a cold wind hastens the deep night. From nowhere, a sad pipe adds to the wayfarer's loneliness. Homesickness grows heavy. Deep sorrow in the mountains and longing opening on the moonlit snow. Lonely, I sit immersed in sadness. Only apricots fall in the autumn wind. Such a rich, image-filled, beautiful, beautiful poem. And that second-to-last line, lonely I sit immersed in sadness. What makes that a Zen poem? We have this notion that Zen is just happiness. You know, I'm so Zen, I'm so calm and happy. Only a failure in Zen would be lonely and immersed in sadness. Now, of course, I say that facetiously. That's not true. A human being would be lonely and immersed in sadness. A Buddha would be lonely and immersed in sadness. But we have these ideas about what practice will bring. And practice does often contribute to a sense of calm, and sometimes we have very sweet periods in our practice. There may be samadhi practice, the falling away of everything. And of course, we also have periods of time that are hard, where we are filled with longing, really at the heart of this poem, a kind of longing. And then we break out all the skillful means that we have. And that's good. That is as it should be. We can practice the perfections. We can practice generosity. When we are feeling constricted and clamped down, practicing generosity. It's a beautiful practice that opens our heart, that extends us beyond our self-centeredness. We can look to the precepts about how to not spare the Dharma assets. We can cultivate equanimity. We can do all these things. They are often very helpful. And sometimes they are not. And it's in those moments of them not being helpful that something different presents itself to us. Where skillful means fail, there is still opportunity for realization. There is still opportunity for deep practice in those moments. I remember periods of my life where life was so difficult. I was recently divorced, and three people very close to me had died in a very short period of time. And I was sitting at Sesshin, and I was just feeling so heavy, this thick fog of grief. And we were studying a piece that talked about great clarity. And I responded in the Dharma dialogue, "What a bunch of bullshit!" I was so angry, so angry. And I expressed it. And a little bit later, a senior student approached me and said, "Thank you so much for your pure presentation." That was quite a moment for me, quite a teaching for me. Pure presentation includes those moments of anger, rage, sadness, straight up, depression, whatever may be arising for us, to simply state it is the emergence of a Buddha. Bearing witness to, as you heard, Sandra was in our dedications this evening, bearing witness to some of the pain that she was feeling right after the surgery while trying to sit up. As she was sitting up one time, and I was taking her hands to help her, and she said, "Ow!" And to me, just so apparent that this was Buddha. Buddha's pain. Many, many, many years ago, my daughter was in a surgery. She was just supposed to be getting tubes put in her ears. Doctor, put a tube in one ear, no problem. And then she turned over, put a tube in the other ear, and pop, her carotid artery burst. And blood came gushing out of her ear, filling up bags with blood, trying to stuff cotton balls and anything he could in there to stop the blood from flowing. And I sat there in the room. I was there for the surgery. I sat there in the room and I watched this unfolding. I had been meditating for 2 years at the time. I'd been doing yoga for years before that and things, but actual meditating, only 2 years. I didn't want Megan to see me, my daughter, I didn't want her to see me fall apart. So I said, "Sweetie, I'll be right back. I promise I will be right back." And I stood up to leave the room for 1 second to sit outside. And I sat on a bench in the room just outside the doctor's office. And I breathed. And through some sort of accident, it became abundantly clear to me that even this was a manifestation of a presence that was vast and eternal. I had no word for it in the moment. But it was so clear that there was no such thing as life and death. Just presence, eternal presence. That did not depend on particular forms. And yet that was also made of particular forms. Impossible for the mind to comprehend the interwovenness of emptiness and form. But it is our life, and nothing is excluded. We say something so horrible as a child seeming to potentially bleed to death cannot be included. And yet so clearly is included. My daughter did not die. She lived. But I was sure she was going to in that moment with what I was seeing. And yet, some presence manifested beyond life and death. Some presence beyond life and death, always manifesting. There are so many things that we say cannot be it. My loneliness cannot be it. If I could just get rid of my loneliness, then I could have pure presence. If I could just get rid of injustice in the world, then I could have pure presence. And yet these things are part of pure presence. My longing for things to be different in that moment was so great and did not go away, and yet was also so clearly part of this sacred being. Our awakenings, one does not complete the job. We have to practice again and again. We forget over and over. This too is it. This too, this very moment of our sitting together in this way, this moment here is it. Is the very presence that we practice for, is the very presence we seek. Oh no, I'll find it when this sits over. This can't be it. I'm just working toward it. No, this is it. This here, this very moment together. Never outside of the moment we are in. All beings included, right here, right now. The person who believes this can't be it, is it? The lonely monk longing, sitting in sadness on the mountainside, listening to apricots fall. All of it included. Something to ask ourselves. What is it that I exclude? What is it that I imagine is not part of this pure presence? What part of myself do I reject? What part of the world do I reject? The great compassion involved in welcoming every part of ourselves. And the irony or the paradox of that, including the part of us that rejects. No, this cannot be so. She cannot die. This too. A cold wind hastens the deep night. From nowhere, a sad pipe adds to the wayfarer's loneliness. Homesickness grows heavy. Deep sorrow in the mountains and longing opening on the moonlit snow. Lonely, I sit immersed in sadness. Only apricots fall in the autumn wind. Thank you.